If everyone lived by the Ten Commandments, there would not be any crime. Somebody say, amen. Say, that's right. That's how easy it would be to fix this country. If everybody would just teach the Ten Commandments and everybody would do it, America's problems would be solved. Last week, we covered the first four commandments. I had intended to get five. Yay. But we served communion, and I took so long praying for people that I didn't have time to get all five. So today I'm going to try to get the other six. If not, we may have to announce next time the nine commandments or the eight commandments. But I'm going to get as far as I can. First commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Many Christians have things before God like money, career, sex, power, family, and wealth. We must not let anything come between us and our Creator, miracle-working God. Second commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. He doesn't want us bowing down to football. Right. A graven image. Can't you say amen? And that's just not a very good example. But anything that comes between us and God, God sees us as an idol. Third commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and he said unto them, boy, Jesus put a great twist on this. The Sabbath was not made for man. The Sabbath was not made for man. What does that mean? It means that the Sabbath is the day of rest, whenever you take it. The day of rest is God's gift to man. He wants you to take off at least one day out of seven and spend your time with him and rejoicing and praising him and resting and not chasing pigs and cows. Can you say amen? I say pigs and cows because I grew up on a farm. And of course, sometimes you have to do that on Sunday on a farm to get the cattle and your pigs out of the neighbor's garden. Yeah. Amen. Get the ox out of the ditch or the cow out of the garden. Yay. Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. This is absolutely one of the best commandments of all. I'm called to pray for a lot of Christians that's dying and not that all that old, and nobody can figure out why they're dying and God's not answering their prayer. Sometimes I believe it's because they disobeyed and dishonored their parents. It's their stuff. Even after they're older, you need to respect them and take care of them in any way you can. Honor thy father and mother. Teachers in our public schools today and universities are teaching their kids to deliberately disobey their parents. They're old fogey, and you can't live like that. Just live however you want to live. And they're getting in trouble, and when they get in trouble, the teacher's not there to bail them out. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Mother, if they're good or not good, you honor and obey them anyway, unless they're requiring you to do something that's ungodly, contrary to Scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A lack of discipline and training is the worst child abuse that there is. If my mother had brought up her eight kids, especially five boys, according to the modern secular humanist teachings, as most parents seem to be doing today, she'd had a bunch of criminals on her hands. Because of her discipline, buddy, she kept us out of trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. As the Lord hath commanded thee, who commanded it? God. That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If you're not showing proper respect for your parents even to this day, if you want to be blessed, you got to fix that if you can. Amen. Everybody didn't have a mother like me. Some mothers are honored out here. Okay. Might be a little more difficult, but I'm telling you right now, we love and honor our mother about worship the ground she walks on. We're planning a big party for her 100th birthday on March the 22nd. Thank God that woman kept us out of jail. We from bad blood, and she knew it. And, buddy, she whatever she had to do to keep us out of trouble, she did, and she didn't worry about what anybody thought about it. Amen. And we all love and worship her, even the one that wandered off his back. Can you say amen? Yeah, amen? If children are not taught to honor and obey their parents, things will not go well with them, and they may not live healthy very long. You may say, I don't believe that. Well, you will believe it someday, because the Word of God never, never fails. Yes. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. Well, what you read in the Old Testament? Well, let's go to the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, verse 3, that it may go well with thee. See, it's just a quote from the old, really. That it may go well with thee, and that you may live long on the earth, and fathers bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's where America's really failing. Most children do not have their natural father in the home with them, and they resent it. Well, divorce doesn't affect the kids. You are kidding yourself. Now, I'm not here to condemn people who've already been through a divorce. You can't unscramble eggs. But you can make sure you live godly and take care of your kids the best you can from now on. That's what God expects. Can you? He didn't expect us to go back and unscramble eggs. But he expects us to start right where we are. Yay. Amen. I just amen myself. Amen, preacher. Thank you. You only said that because I told you to. Yeah. They must be taught right and wrong and trained to discipline themselves. I can discipline myself today and fast 40 days and make myself do it partly because my mama taught me self-discipline. How do you teach self-discipline? If you discipline, they'll learn self-discipline. Because they'll discipline themselves to keep from getting in trouble with you. And you are the authority, so you train them to respect authority if you don't want them sitting in jail. And it starts with you. Do you want your children in jail? Teach them respect for authority. Teach them the Word of God. And Jesus taught honor thy father and mother. Jesus, the head guy, our Lord and Savior. Luke chapter 18, verse 20. You know the commandments. And he quotes the five I'm working on today. Of course, I'm working on six, but the five I hope to get to today. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And guess what? He adds to that. Honor your father and mother. Must be important. And then the sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. The word is murder. Man is created in God's image. He's not an animal. They began to teach us in school when I was in school that we're just another animal. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. Man is not another animal. There's not an animal on the face of God's earth that can even come close to a human being. If it is, or if evolution did create us, where is the big link between the monkey and us? You ever seen a monkey building a spaceship? You ever seen a monkey building a house? You ever seen a monkey going to college? Amen. There's a major difference between humans and animals. Amen. And God sees human life as sacred. I said sacred. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. King James translates it that way, but it's translated in what, 1611? And so, but the real word in the Hebrew says murder. There's a big difference between murder and killing. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. You shall not murder. You see, the Hebrew word means murder. Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to kill. If someone is trying to harm you and your children, it is God's will for you to defend them. The Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. What does that mean? Bread and water? Or does it mean everything, including protection?
Yes. Amen.
And we live in a day when the policemen are more and more, thank God we're still blessed here, but that could change very quickly because the secular human is trying to take over Knoxville if you haven't been paying attention. But in a lot of places there is no protection from the police, and they're taking guns away from people so they can't protect themselves. Americans better rise up and fix some of these things before it's everlasting too late. If someone is trying to harm your children, it is God's will for you to defend them no matter what the result is.
Amen.
There is a time to kill, but never a time to murder. Murder is when you take innocent life. But when a state executes a murder, that's not murder. That's justice.
Amen.
Oh, I know we've become modernized, and you know, if you live by the Bible, you're some kind of a pagan. No, no. If you live by the Bible, it says plainly the justice is to be dished out to people, and the government is to do it.
Amen.
God allows, I believe the Bible, if you don't, you're going to wish you had. So listen so you know what it says.
Amen.
Well, I don't agree with you. Well, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God.
Amen.
This is God's word. But listen just in case. You may change your mind. There is a time to kill, a time, but never a time to murder. God allows authorities to kill if necessary to bring justice. Genesis 9:6. This is before the law. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Ah, that's what he says. For in the image of God he made man. And the reason that man is to be vindicated, the man is to receive justice, is because he's sacred. He's not an animal. Every Thanksgiving people are defending turkeys. They don't want turkeys put to death. They don't want to eat in turkeys, but they'll turn around and abort their baby, which is cold-blooded murder. It's killing innocents. Don't get mad at me for speaking the truth. I'm going to prove that in just a second. Human life is sacred. The Bible says, you shall not murder. And Jesus even said, thou shalt not murder. And the word is murder. The Bible says, you shall not murder, but when you... But then it says, thou shalt not murder. And then it says, turns right around and says, the murderer is to be killed. Well, the Bible teaches not to kill. And then it turns around and teaches to kill the murderer. Y'all pay attention. So it's not talking about thou shalt not kill. It's talking about thou shalt not murder. When a government executes somebody for murdering another person, that is the will of God. That's justice. Oh, my God. Well, the United States of America lived by that in just to recent times, and we didn't have all the crime we got now.
Amen.
When I was growing up, you could lay down and go to sleep and never lock a door, and we didn't.
Amen.
Leave the keys in the car. Nobody's going to bother your car.
That's right.
Try that now. It's because secular humanism has taught us it's wrong to bring justice on people. Well, they grew up on the wrong side of town and they are disadvantaged and all of these excuses. The Bible says if you kill somebody, they're to be put to death. It doesn't matter what their background was.
Amen.
I could claim some of that myself. I was abused, kicked around, slapped around. My daddy abused me. He didn't slap me around, but he called me all kind of names. And white people beat me up because I was in segregation with nobody around to beat me up but white people. And I could claim that myself. Well, I'm going to go out and kill somebody because I was abused. No. Being abused is not an excuse to kill somebody.
Amen.
You get executed for that according to God.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I got away with it. No, you didn't, because God is the final authority and vengeance is mine. I will repay. All these people that believe today they're getting away with something, they're not getting away with it at all.
Amen.
Especially if you're best with a Christian, God will take you out.
Amen.
Well, this is good preaching. I'm not getting a real fabulous response. Romans 13:4, he does not bear the sword in vain, talking about the government. He does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath. There you have it. It's in the New Testament. To execute wrath on him who practices evil. So the government is to carry out justice. That's why we have all these problems. These attorney generals across the country, they're turning people loose. And they go right back out and do the same thing over and over and over. They're protecting criminals and not the citizens. That is totally backwards, and they're going to answer to God for it. And you can tell them I said so. They're not going to care, but you can tell them. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hello. Everyone in this room was created in the womb for a special purpose in life. You may not have found it yet, but there is a special purpose for you. And if anybody should have aborted you, they would have aborted the plan of God, therefore murder. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you for a special purpose. I believe is what it means. So abortion terminates God's plan. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. If men struggle with each other, listen to this little doozy. And I check this out. This is in the Hebrew. I've heard people try to say it's not, but they're liars. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, and there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. Verse 23. But if there is any further injury to the fetus, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. In other words, if that baby is killed, the person who killed the fetus is to be put to death. Amen. Now, I'm not advocating that people have abortion be put to death, but I'm just showing you that to God, every human life is sacred. And you need to know that before you make a crazy decision. And even though the government may let you get away, God won't. Now, I believe in repentance. If you repent, ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you, but don't do it again. And sometimes I hesitate to preach some of these things because I don't want to put condemnation. It's not me putting condemnation on you. It's the devil. But I don't want you to allow the devil to put condemnation on you because of Holy Scripture. What you need to tell the devil is, I'm saved. I'm born again. I've been forgiven. And with God's help, I'm not doing it again. So get out of here. I'm not under condemnation, and I will not let you put me under condemnation. That's up to you to take authority. I've done some things too. I'm not going to stand up here and beat myself to death over it. I'm just going to repent and serve God the rest of my life. Amen. Eye for eye. Talk about that fetus. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. So human life is sacred. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just reading the Bible. But I want you to see from the Bible that human life is sacred. You're not just another turkey. Well, I mean, some people may call you that, but you're not just another turkey. Okay. The seventh commandment is, I hope we still have 10 commandments after today. I may have to cut it off at 8. The seventh commandment is, Lord help me, thou shalt not commit adultery. Most of the problems this country has today is because we bought into the new morality in my generation. A lot of poverty today is simply because people shack up together, have babies, and the guy runs off and leaves the mama working day and night trying to feed her kids, and they're in poverty because of adultery and fornication and ungodly sexual behavior. Or just do whatever feels good. Well, if you're going to do what feels good, be willing to pay the price. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I want to tie in the New Testament so you can see it all tied together and bring in a little modern wisdom with it. Matthew 19, 4, and he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? How many did he make? Male and female. There's no transgender. Not in the Bible. You can't be a Christian and believe that a man has a woman inside of him. Because Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, says God created two sexes, period. Biology, interestingly enough, says the same thing. But we have insaneness as college professors and university professors teaching there's a whole bunch of genders. Everybody in their right mind knows that is not true. And what's so tragic, they're taking little girls and giving them hysterectomies and cutting their breasts off and stuff, trying to turn them into a boy. There's a lot of people now that's been in transgender and they're coming out, and they're saying there is no way you can change the gender. All you can do is change the way they look. A boy is a boy before he's ever born. A girl is a girl before she's ever born. My wife had two girls and a boy, and I'm telling you right now, that boy was a boy before it was ever born. She said, "This kid is breaking my ribs." I said, "It must be a boy." And it was. Don't get upset when you have girls. You say, amen. Because boys will be boys. Verse 5. And said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So God's design is that a man marry a woman and they become one. And it says also to be fruitful and multiply. The last time I checked, two men can't be fruitful and multiply. I love homosexuals, not mad at any of them. I have some I consider my best friend, almost like family members. But I gotta love them enough to speak the truth and then keep loving them if they'll let me. Can you say amen? And most of them know I'm a... Thank you, Jesus. Most of them know that I'm a Bible preacher, but that don't bother them because I love them anyway, and they love me anyway. I ran into one of my friends not long ago, and they said, "I just love you. I just love them." Amen. Well, if you don't believe what they're doing is right, you're a bigot. No, you're just a nut. That's what you are. You're a nut. Because you can love people and not agree with them.
Amen.
Glory to God. I got more than one amen at the same time. It's a miracle. "For this reason, a man shall leave..." What reason? God created two sexes. That's what reason. "For this reason..." And listen, you better get out and vote for the school board, no matter what you think, because they're right now trying to force this transgender thing into our high school, in our schools, so that boys will be able to claim to be girls and go into the girls' locker room. You know, if we'd had this in my day, who knows? I may have been claiming to be a girl. You know, I mean, you can't trust boys. They'll make up stuff. I'm a girl. No, you're not a girl. We live in a crazy society. Let boys claim to be girls. The only sex that Jesus approved of is sex between a married male and female. Everything else is adultery, fornication, immoral. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. That's what God thinks. "Well, I'm going to do what I want to. You're going to pay a price for it because vengeance is mine. I'll repay." Says God, not Barry. I don't care what you do. No skin off my nose. But there's going to be some skin off my nose if I don't tell you the truth. I have to tell you the truth, but then what you do is your business. I don't check up on anybody. I'm going to preach this best I can twice, and then I'm going to find me something to eat today. I ain't eating on Sunday since Christmas. Verse 6, Jesus, don't let me do it again, Lord. Come up short. "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder," is what it means. God created male and female to come together and become one. And that's the way God expects it to be. And just because you've been through a divorce doesn't mean you're under condemnation. A lot of people have no choice in it. You turn your life over to God. He has another plan for you. And when the devil tries to put condemnation on you, you tell him where to go.
Amen.
But try to live right from now on as best you can. It takes a male and a female to fulfill God's purpose. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute or with an ungodly woman? Never. Verse 16. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute or ungodly woman, or ungodly man for that matter, goes both ways, is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. This is New Testament. This says a person becomes one with whoever they have sex with. Now, I've seen some men have sex with it doesn't mean that. It just means you violated God's law. You still don't have to make a second mistake and marry the nut. I'm right, whether you like it or not. I'm moving on. Sex is meant to make a male and female one according to Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. It doesn't say whatever feels good, whatever's right for you. It says run, because it will really mess your life up. Amen. If you don't believe it, look around. Flee all sexual immorality. This includes all sex sins. Here again, there's very few people that had some kind of sex sin. Don't sit there and beat yourself up. Forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you and get on with your life. Romans 1:26, their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Verse 27, and the same way also the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desires toward one another. You see, this is homosexuality, and it is not approved of by God. And it says, it doesn't say they're born that way, it says they exchanged. Now, in this society, most homosexuals are homosexuals because of something other people did to them. Amen. In many cases, rape. And that thing got in them, and we need to love on them and pray for them and believe God to deliver them. They weren't born that way, but man helped turn them that way. And now we need to do everything we can to help them. I'm here to tell you, if you have a same-sex desire, God can set you free from that. Amen. It's good news. You can be set free from that. Amen. But we're going to love you no matter what. This says they exchanged and abandoned the natural. And after a while, they just give up, because it really is almost impossible to break by yourself. And they just give up and they accept it. We had it happen to really sharp young teenagers in his church. He had that desire. I prayed with him. Church prayed with him. We did everything we knew to do. And he just had a hard time with it. Finally, just gave in and started living that lifestyle. We still love the guy. And we need to keep praying for him. Because something happened to him that changed him. Love must speak truth, but it's always wrong to be mean to anyone, no matter what. One lesbian told me, she heard me preaching like this. She said, I really hated you, but now I know you just love me. Wow. I preach the way I do because I love people and I wanted people to know there's a way out. Amen. And if you're confused, his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, look at all the stuff he delivered me from. I'd be sitting in prison right now, no doubt, if the Lord hadn't saved me and changed me. The eighth commandment... Hopefully not the last. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. I was a little thief, man. I'd steal just to see if I get away with it. And I normally did. I was a clever little devil. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine. So I thought I was getting away with it, but you don't get away with it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. The Hebrew word also means deception and fraud. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. You see, not paying your employees on a timely basis can be, in the eyes of God, stealing from them. you owe somebody money for working for you, pay them, for crying out loud. Verse 30, pay what you agreed on. Verse 35, you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight, of capacity. In other words, have your scales calibrated so you don't cheat people. My daddy, he had some bad qualities, but he also had some good. He was a farmer. He sold a lot of produce and a lot of crops that he bought, that he grew. And he'd have people come and buy stuff from him, and I would help him put it in baskets, and he'd tell me, Barry, you fill that basket up with green beans and you shake it, you put some more and you shake it, you get every green bean in that bushel basket you possibly can. And people respected him because he's an honest farmer. You shall have balanced just weights, a just ephod measure, and a just in, which is a gallon. In other words, when you pull up to the gas pump, you want a gallon of gas and not three-quarters of a gallon. And the government checks to make sure the gas station's not cheating you. That's scriptural, you see. The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, thou shalt, the way the light is, the way my paper's folded, it somehow throws a shadow. I have a hard time reading it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. I can see it when I get in the right light. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You see, this applies to the New Testament. In the New Testament, John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you're a liar, you got a daddy. Now, I'm talking about somebody who slipped up and told a little thing. I'm talking about somebody who makes it kind of a lifestyle. Just lie. Cheat people. Dishonest. But if you do lie, repent up and tell God you're sorry, because it is a sin. Genesis 3, 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. What got us into this mess in the first place? Adam and Eve believing a lying devil. And listen, when you believe a lie, it always turns out bad. That's why you need to pray for discernment, that you'll know the truth and you'll know the source of anything, like it's the devil or God. Satan is the father of lies. We must know the truth and not believe a lie as Eve did. Failure begins with a lie. If you look back at your life, you can see your failures are always because you believed a lie. And you believe that, oh, especially when I was growing up, smoking was cool. Now we know it kills you. It's not cool. It's a deception. And smoking weed's even worse. It don't matter what people say. God says vengeance is mine. When you break God's law and you do things he tells you not to do, you're going to get in big trouble. You're supposed to be sober. You're not supposed to be half high all the time. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Lying is serious stuff with God. When we lie, we hurt ourselves and others. Revelations 2:21-8, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters, me think that's a pretty tough list. Well, look who's in there. And all liars, not some liars, all liars. Those who do not repent, start telling the truth, they'll have their part in the lake of fire. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, you're just a fire and brimstone preacher. No, I'm a Bible preacher, and you can take it or leave it today. But on judgment day, you won't take it or leave it. All liars have their part in the lake of fire. The tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet. What in the world does that mean? The same thing as lusting after something. The Word of God says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. In other words, you may be attracted to something, but you say that's wrong, I'm not going to do it. You're okay. Just because you desire something or attracted to something doesn't mean it's a sin. It's when it conceives. It's when the coveting covetousness conceives. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Well, if you didn't desire your neighbor's house, you would never buy it. So it doesn't mean you can't desire it. It means you can't desire it with evil intent of stealing it. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's husband as well. I heard a family say, the Bible considers wives to be property because it says, do not covet your neighbor's wife. That woman is out of her mind. That applies both ways. You're not supposed to covet your neighbor's husband either. How many glad you got a smart preacher? I'm smart enough to tell between a woman and a man, I am that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. I don't be making fun of anybody because I believe those people have a real problem. The Bible, the psychiatrists have always said it's a mental condition, and it is. And we don't need to make fun of them. We need to do everything we can to help them, get them counseling, not surgery, and not hormones. They say all the hormones will eventually kill. You cannot take all those hormones to change who you are and live very long. Everybody knows that. We need to love them enough to tell them the truth. You can get a good psychiatrist and get a hold of Jesus and you can get straightened out and know what you are. Yeah. I mean, it takes more love to speak the truth and really try to help people than it is to go along to get along. Amen. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor her manservant. How many of you know Sarah had a servant? Nor his or her maidservant, nor his ox, nor his, I got to clean the Bible up, not his ass, he means donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Do not crave after with evil intent. I can like your beautiful car and maybe even try to buy it, but I can't plan to steal it. That's when it becomes sin. Do not crave your neighbor's wife. Do not crave your neighbor's husband. Romans 13, 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. This is Paul going through some of the commandments. And then he says, you shall not covet. That means all 10 commandments are in the New Testament. And, of course, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the number one commandment. That includes the first three. Can you say amen? And really, I believe the first four. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So all the Ten Commandments are repeated one way or the other in the New Testament. And so you don't get a pass just because you live on the New Testament. Amen. That goes for me too. Some people act like, well, the preachers preach this to be mean to us. Don't you understand we have to live by the Bible ourselves? Amen. Not trying to be mean. And I know sometimes it can be very difficult, but God will help you. I said, God will help you. Micah chapter 2, verse 2, they covet. Listen to this. They covet fields and then seize them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You may desire somebody's property, but you don't seize it or steal it. And houses. And take them away. They covet somebody's house and then they take it. They rob a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. How many like a preacher does his homework? I'm laid it right out for you. Well, I didn't. Okay, I'm sorry. God did. God taught me this. Desire itself is not sin, but planning to satisfy that desire by taking someone's mate or property is sin. Let's all